Our desire as a leadership in this church, and I'm sure it's your desire as well too, because it's been our prayer for many, many years, and it's probably been your prayer as well too, not only for yourself, but for your family, and certainly for our church family, is we want to see all of us growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, growing spiritually, increasing in our faith. And part of the reason for that is because we're called to. And so I want to look at some passages of Scripture this morning that talk about our spiritual growth and our call to grow into Christ's likeness. Who wouldn't want that? And one reason is because we're commanded to in 2 Peter 3:18. It says to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 4:15 says that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. And there are several aspects of this growing in our faith together, in growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. For all of us growing spiritually, and I have to tell you, and you probably already know this, it doesn't just happen when you become a born-again believer. You just don't suddenly gather all this information and begin to grow in your faith just because it's something that's inherent with you being a Christian. It's something that we all have to work at on a daily basis. And it doesn't just happen when you come here to church on Sunday, although part of it is the process by you being here on Sunday, but there is also more to it than that. And one of the reasons we are called to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ is for our own protection. It helps protect us individually. It helps protect us as a family. It helps protect us as a church family from being led astray by those false teachers. Mike was teaching about that last Sunday. It protects us from those who would want us to fall from our own steadfastness. It protects us from the error of the wicked. In that passage in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let me read you the verses just before that, verses 16 and 17. It says this, there are untaught and unstable people who twist to their own destruction as they do all of the rest of the Scriptures. Then he says this, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. You see, there are people out there, and there are people in the churches that want to do that very thing. They twist the Scriptures, and it's going to end in their eventual destruction. But in the meantime, when they are allowed to be in a place of authority and position where they can share the twisted Scriptures, they will cause some to fall from their own steadfastness. They won't lose their salvation, but they may fall from their faith. And it may exhibit itself in some very strange ways in their life that we have seen in the lives of some people. And he says, being led away with the error of the wicked. You see, these are wicked people that want to lead you astray, to lead you in a direction that is not Christ-like. So how do you avoid that? How do you deal with that? Verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how that happens. That's how we are protected and preserved as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I hasten to say this as well, too. Our growth, our spiritual growth, our growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ is never determined by how much we do. It may be a fruit of our growth, but listen to this. Our growth, our spiritual growth, is never determined by what we do. Because if it were, the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the ones who plotted to kill Jesus and eventually did, they would be the ones then to emulate because they were tenacious workers. They were always doing some kinds of religious works, showing off their religiosity, You remember what Jesus said about them in Matthew 23, verses 3 through 5? He says, "For they say and do not do. They bind heavy burdens hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." And then he says this, "But all of their works they do are to be seen by whom?" By men. They could care less about God, but they were tenacious in their work for God, but not the God of the Bible. They prayed, they fasted, they tithed to be seen by men. They made their garments and their phylacteries broad to appear to be more religious. They would tithe their mint and anise and cumin, but they would not do the more important matters of the law like justice and faith and mercy. They would strain at a gnat, Jesus said, but they would swallow a camel. The very smallest of unclean animals, the gnat, if it got into their water, when they would drink that water, they would not let that gnat go into their mouth. They would strain it through their teeth. And yet Jesus says they would take the most unclean animal, the biggest one, the camel, and they would swallow it whole because they were very hypocritical in their lifestyle. They were working tenaciously, but that was never evidence of spiritual growth in their life. Jesus said they were like whitewashed tombs that outwardly appear beautiful and righteous to men, but inside they were full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You know, there is a works aspect of the Christian faith, because Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, but they are never evidence of our salvation, and that's not solely what we base our spiritual growth on." It's just one part of that. But to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, it's really that maturing process that comes over time and continues in our life until we take our last breath. And it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit, through our knowing the Word of God and the truth of God, that helps us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we can then apply and live in obedience to the Word of God. That is how spiritual growth takes place. As a matter of fact, Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 10, he said, "Grace and peace increase through the knowledge of Jesus Christ." If we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, then we have to have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that grace and peace increase through that knowledge that we have of Jesus. He goes on to say, "His divine power gives us all we need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. We escape the corruption of the world, the influence of the world through the knowledge of Him. We'll always be useful and fruitful in the knowledge of Jesus when we add to our faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, self-control, self-control, perseverance, perseverance, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love." That's how we grow with our knowledge and understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And we know that through the Word of God. And then he ends that passage by saying, "And when you do that, you will never stumble." Wouldn't that be a nice place to be in our Christian walk? Mature enough to never stumble in our faith? And part of how we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ depends on two things: our desire to grow and our preparation for growth. In our passage here in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." You see, if we want to grow in our faith, if we want to grow spiritually, there has to be that desire within us to grow. By the way, that word desire, epipatheo, it means to yearn, to intensely crave, or to greatly long after. And in this case, it's an intense craving and great longing after the Word of God. How many of us actually have that in our lives, that kind of a desire? Like a baby desires and craves and longs for his mother's milk to satisfy that desire and hunger and thirst, so too we should be for the Word of God if we want to grow spiritually. To mature in our faith, that's what it takes. It's that internal desire for God and Christ through the Word that helps us to grow. We should never be satisfied with where we're at spiritually. Because if we are, then we think we've arrived, and we haven't. None of us have. None of us will this side of heaven. I want to take you back to Psalm 19 that Nate read earlier there. Psalm 19, starting in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's what the Word of God does first. It saves you. It converts your soul from darkness to light, from hell to heaven. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You have a spiritual wisdom as you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ that the world does not have. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You have an enlightenment from God to have an understanding of the things that are going on in the world today that the world does not have and cannot have apart from the Holy Spirit of God living within them and an understanding of the Word of God that reveals that to them. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is a great reward. Do we desire them more than silver or gold, more than anything else in our life? Jesus did. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Even in the midst of his temptation, he drew upon the Scriptures. And we're called to do the very same thing. Do we do that? If you were to read Psalm 119 sometime, that whole psalm, which is the longest psalm, is a psalm about the Word of God. Over and over again, using different words for the Word of God, the testimonies, the statutes, all of these different words are talking about God's Word. And the writer of Psalm 19 tells us how he treasures the Word of God, how he desires the Word of God, how he longs for the Word of God, how he depends upon the Word of God, and he would rather have that more than anything else. Why shouldn't that be the way with us if we truly want to grow in our faith? If we truly want to mature in our faith, that's what it's going to take. So first of all, it's that desire that we must have for the Word of God that's going to help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But there's something else we need to do to help prepare for this is our own preparation, our own desire that comes with a preparation for that. It's letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, as Colossians 3:16 says. But in order for that to happen, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to create that hunger and thirst and desire for the Word of God. And in order to do that, there are some things that we need to remove in our lives that hinder that hunger and thirst and desire. You realize that? Look back at 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. In other words, you have to prepare by putting these things aside. You need to lay aside these things in order to be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. In order to get into the Word of God and let it filter in your thought processes. There may be some things in our lives that we must remove before we can hear God speak through His Word. And you can evaluate our own lives. Maybe you've been reading the Word and haven't been getting anything out of it, and probably part of the reason is when you do a self-examination and say, oh, well, I never laid this aside. I never stopped doing this, and I'm sure that was probably hindering my understanding of what God was wanting to say to me through His Word. We have to lay aside some things. And by the way, that word lay aside, apatithame, it means to put away, to cast off, to lay down. And in this case, it's some of these things that he writes down here that we have to lay aside before God can speak to us through his word and then allow us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ through our understanding of the word. He says, lay aside all. The first thing is malice. That word is translated evil or wickedness or depravity. That's how it's used other places in Scripture. It's an inherent evil that comes from within us that we allow to express itself in our thoughts and our actions and in our words. It's like what Jesus said in Matthew 15:19 and Mark 7:21 and 22. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, lying, blasphemy, wickedness, pride, foolishness. It's those things that come from inside that we are to lay aside when they are consuming us or controlling us, or our desire is more for that than it is for the Word of God. We're not only to lay aside that, we are to lay aside all deceit, all lying or guile or subtlety in which we deceive. Whether that's our own self-deception or whether we are trying to deceive somebody else, whether we are living in that deception, we are to lay that aside. And kind of in conjunction with that, he says you're to lay aside all hypocrisy, acting like something that you're not, with the intent to deceive. You see, part of lying is we try to be something that we're not, to impress other people, to show other people that this is the way we are on the outside when that's not us on the inside. We are an actor on a stage is what the word hypocrisy means. So we say and do these things, but we are inside full of extortion and excess. He says we're also to lay aside envy. Ill will or spite or jealousy is how that word is translated. There's nothing worse than jealousy in the life of somebody because it causes them to think thoughts that aren't real, but they conjure these things up because they begin to compare themselves with somebody else, and they have that jealousy and that envy, and it causes them to then respond to that person in light of that. And then you want to get into the Word of God and understand what it has to say. He says, also lay aside all evil speaking, defamation, backbiting, talking about and against others, that gossip that takes place. You see, all of these things, if we were to put all of these together, it's everything that you think, say, and do in your life that we have to examine and deal with before we come to the Word of God to be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to lay aside these things so that desire for God and for His Word and for that growth can take place. This is profound when you think about it in our own lives. That may be one of the reasons why much of Christianity today is not very mature, because they're not willing to give up these things in order to pursue that desire that God wants us to. We could really sum all this up in what Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says. Let us lay aside, by the way, that's the same word in Peter, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We have to lay aside every weight and every sin that can so easily ensnare us and keep us from having that desire and that preparation for getting into the Word of God so that we can grow. It's laying aside all of those things in our lives, whether they are sinful or whether they are just preoccupation, those kind of things that weigh us down and keep us from growing. Sometimes we have those desires for other things more than we have a desire for the Word of God. And if that is ever the case, we will stifle our growth. And I will hasten to say this. We've all been there because we all still have a sin nature. We all approach the Word of God sometimes with some sin in our mind or in our lips or in our heart. And that's why we have to cling to 1 John 1:9 that says, when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then allows us for the pure heart to approach the Word of God with the kind of desire that God wants us to have. Because when we lay those things aside and we have that desire for God's Word, He will use His Word by the power of His Spirit. He will use His church as the resources to help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:6? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. That's what happens when we hunger and thirst after righteousness. And one of the resources that He uses to help us in our spiritual growth, to help us in the maturing process, is the church, is those gifted people within the church, or the gifted leadership within the church, people who have the gift of preaching and teaching and encouragement and faith, and all of these things that we use together to encourage one another in our growth. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, a familiar passage, I'm sure. Ephesians chapter 4, if it's not familiar to you, you're not growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. You see, some people are uniquely equipped for a particular purpose within the church. And this is the purpose, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, they are equipped to equip the saints, who then equip other people who are being equipped by the leadership and those who are the equippers. And then they become the equippers. And pretty soon, everybody's involved in this growing process. And the end result of that is verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I love you as a congregation, and I pray this prayer for you often, because this is why I want to see in each and every one of us, till we all come to the unity of the faith, till we all come to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, that maturity in our faith. But we have to go back then and say, if we're praying this, then we ought to be praying that they have that desire. We ought to be praying that they are preparing for their growth by doing these things. And as I examine myself and I look at this, I've not been doing that part of that. So as I've been studying this, this has been a real conviction for me. So I'm going to be praying differently for you now, in addition to this, because it's so important. Why? Verse 14, that we should no longer be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Just like the other one in Peter there. He says, listen, you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ so you don't fall from your steadfastness, so you're not led astray by the wickedness of men and taking the scriptures. That will not happen when you have a deep understanding of the Word of God. It preserves you and protects you. You're not tossed about by every wind of doctrine. You know people who proclaim to be Christians, and they're taken in by every kind of thing that comes along. They think this is the next great thing, and they jump on board with that, and they're led astray many times. But speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things to Him who is the head. That's the purpose. When we are all working together, unifying together, doing what God calls us to do together, we will grow up in all things to Him who is the head, is Christ. How's that going to be done? Verse 16. from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see, we are all in this together. We all help each other to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We can't sit back idly and do nothing and just come to church. We all have to invest in each other's lives to help each other grow like this. It is a process that we are involved in until this church is blown up or till we all die or until Christ comes back. This is what we are called to do. That's why Colossians 2:19 says, there are some people that we're not holding fast to the head, which is Christ, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. You see, God uses all of us to help all of us grow. If we are using our spiritual gifts, if we are doing our part in the growth process, our growth is stifled when even one of us is not doing what God has called us to do, because we are joints and ligaments put together just like a body. Every part makes a difference. Just try doing away with one joint or one ligament and see what how the rest of your body is affected by that. It is no different in this congregation either. We hold fast to Christ. We hold fast to the teaching of His Word. It nourishes us. It draws us together like the joints and ligaments of a body. And God is the source of that growth. It's never us. It's God through the power of His Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, that we together begin to grow. And something else I'm sure most of us understand is that when we grow individually and when we grow corporately as a church, it is always, always based on the foundation of prayer. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 11, Paul prays that we would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's another prayer I pray for you often because it's so important, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that we would be led by the Spirit, that we would be filled with the Spirit. And the knowledge of His will is always revealed in His Word. It's not some supernatural revelation that we get. It is always what the Word of God has to say. And then Colossians 1 goes on to say that we walk worthy of the Lord and fully pleasing Him. That's what we want for all of us, right? That's the maturing process. The way we walk and live our life pleases God. The more we know His will, the more we walk in the way that pleases the Lord. Our life will reflect one of holiness and righteousness. And then that passage in Colossians goes on to say that we would be fruitful in every good work. Our life of holiness and righteousness bears fruit in our individual lives, in the life of our family, in our church family. It's like what Paul encouraged the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 4:1. He said, you should abound more and more how you ought to walk and please God. And it is a constant knowing that helps us to be constantly growing. But I do have to hasten to say this. Every one of us, even every one of us in this room, in this congregation, we are at different stages of our Christian spiritual growth, right? The sad reality of that is some people who have been Christians for a long time are still not spiritually mature. They, in some cases, are babes in Christ. It's kind of like what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14. He said this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good from evil. You see, there's a maturing process that takes place, and it should constantly be taking place in the lives of born-again believers. But unfortunately, some churches don't do that. They don't preach and teach the word that helps people to grow. They don't on their own search out the scriptures to help themselves to grow. And consequently, they just are nothing more than a babe in Christ. As they grow in years, they don't grow in their faith. I praise God that that's not the case here, but it is in other places. As a matter of fact, this was a problem for the church at Corinth, and Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said this. He says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you're not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able to, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? You see, that's what happens when you don't grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what happens when you don't have a desire for the Word of God. That's what happens when you don't prepare and you study the Word of God, because you are allowing these other things that you have not laid aside to still influence your life. And because of that, you may have been a Christian for many years, but you're still a babe in Christ because you have not grown in your faith because of those things. And Paul understood that, so he had to feed them the milk of the Word and not the meat of the Word. It's like a newborn babe. If you're a babe in Christ, you expect a newborn baby to do immature things, think immature thoughts about anything and everything. But as they begin to grow, their thoughts and their actions should change, and they should become more mature, right? That's the growing process of the human body and the human mind. We mature. It's the same way in our Christian faith. There are immature believers who act and say spiritually immature things. And that's okay, because they're young in their faith. But for someone who has been a believer for a long time, to act and say spiritually immature things becomes the issue. They are still a babe in Christ when they should be teachers. They should be encouraging others. They should be doing more, because they've been a Christian for a longer period of time. So the question I guess we have to end with is this. How can we tell whether we are growing as a Christian or if we are still maybe immature in our faith? How can we see that in our own life and maybe the life of somebody else? Well, let me give you a couple of indicators. And by the way, this is not an exhaustive list, and this is really basically a general list for us to at least have a footing and a starting place to look at. But I would say this, to understand whether you're a growing Christian and somebody who is maturing in their faith, I would say that you have a desire for the Word and a desire to follow the Word. As 1 Peter 2:2 said, when you have that desire and that craving that is continually there, then you'll probably be continually growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because it's like what Jesus said in Matthew 5:6. I didn't tell you this before, but Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. But if you take the Greek construction of that sentence, it sounds just like this. Blessed are those who continually hunger and continually thirst for righteousness, for they will be continually filled. That's what happens when you continually hunger and thirst for the Word of God. When you lay aside those things, when you desire that growth through the Word of God. We're never there. It's like what Paul said in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. I have not apprehended or laid hold of spiritual maturity. And he was one of the most mature men in Scripture. But he says, I'm not there yet. He says, I continue to press towards the goal of the high price and the calling of Jesus Christ. I never want to be satisfied with where I'm at spiritually, nor should we. It should be our desire for Christ's likeness, as Ephesians 4 said, to the fullness of the stature of Christ. But I fear there's some people who don't want that or don't care for that. But it ought to be the desire of all of us. Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8 that was read before. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You can be wise. You can live a wise life by the Word of God. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You can have enlightenment that the world doesn't have. You can be enlightened into understanding why we are living in the times that we're living in, why we are close to the end and the return of Jesus Christ, why the things are happening the way they are. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be unknowing about those things because they are revealed in the Word of God, and we can know these things. That gives us a settled spirit. That gives us a hope for the future. Psalm 119:11, a very familiar verse. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against you. You see, we'll not sin against God or one another if God's word is dwelling us in richly in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we don't sin, because we do. But the more we hide his word in our heart, the less apt we are to sin. And the more mature we are in our faith, the less likely we are to sin. And when we do, it grieves our hearts more than we did when we were a new believer, because we understand the cost of what our sin did for our Lord. That's why Colossians 3:16 says, when it comes to the Word of God, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do you want to have wisdom? Do you want to have spiritual insight and understanding? Then let His Word dwell in you. And the only way it will dwell in you is when you open up that Word, when you read it, when you listen to it, when you meditate on it. And you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But your delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law you'll meditate day and night, and you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth fruit in its season. That's what happens when the Word of Christ dwells in us richly. I think a second thing that helps us to determine our spiritual growth is our desire to know and grow in the knowledge of God and Christ in His Word. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 to 10, I read to you before, says in part, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you want to have God's grace? Do you want to experience God's peace? You do that by the knowledge of God and Christ. That's what brings about a peace in our life. It goes on to say, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How is that possible? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue. You see, the more we know God in Christ, the more we will have a settled life, the more we will live in godliness and maturity of our faith. Colossians 1:10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You'll walk worthy, you'll please God, you'll be fruitful in every work, you'll be maturing in your faith because of the knowledge you have of God and Christ through His Word. Ephesians 1, verses 17 to 21 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That was Paul's desire for the people he ministered to. That is my desire for all of us, that He gives us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who God in Christ is. And you want to know why? Because that verse goes on to say this, that the eyes of your understanding are enlightened so that you know the hope and inheritance and power of God. That's why we pray that prayer so often, that you may have that wisdom and knowledge, because that'll give you understanding and enlightenment, that you know the hope that you have. You know the inheritance that you have. You don't have to doubt your salvation. You don't have to question your salvation. And it causes and motivates you to talk to those people who are not saved and tell them about the hope that you have. Tell them about the future you have that they don't. Read Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 9 sometime. And it talks about our understanding of the Word and how important it is. And I think another thing that would help us understand if we're growing in our faith and maturing in our faith would be the desire and love that we have for one another. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, it says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other." You know, one of the evidence of growing faith is the love that you have for each other. That is always evidence of somebody who is growing because they love others more than they love themselves. And they're expressing that love through their giving and their loving and their sharing and all that they do in their the expressions of love. And by the way, for the church at Thessalonica, they were showing that love for one another. And you know what else that did? It preserved them to endure all the persecutions and tribulations that they were going through, because they loved each other. And I'll tell you what, there's no greater expression of that love is when we get together just like this. We hug one another. We encourage one another. We see one another. We shake hands. We spend time together. We can express that love as much time as we have together. That's why I love those meals, because we have more time than ever to express that love. And then we go out of here and we express that love for one another in helping each other in times of need, doing things for each other to express that love, because we're a body. We're Lighthouse Bible Church, and it extends beyond these walls. And so when the persecution does come, when those trials do come, when they start telling us we can and can't do those things, we're going to need that love more than ever. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 12 and 13. "May the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, one of the ways that you will be established in your faith, and you will know that, is that love that you have for each other, and that love that's being extended to you, and that you extend to others. So I would close with Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." That's my prayer for all of us, that our love may abound still more and more in all knowledge, in all discernment, that we may approve the things that are excellent, that we discern the things that are excellent as over against the things that are useless and a waste of time, that we may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Doesn't mean we're sinless, but we strive towards being sincere and without offense until that day when Jesus Christ comes back. We're filled with the fruits of righteousness through Jesus Christ that gives us the power to live in the fruit of the Spirit. May that be true of all of us. And you say, "Dale, I want to grow. I just don't know how." Well, hopefully this message will help. And one of the things that I would encourage you to do, if you're not already, and one of the reasons that I put all of these notes in the bulletin, is for you to leave this place and be a Berean and go home and look up these things to see whether they are true. Meditate on these things all week long to help you to have a deeper understanding of the truth of the Word of God. How do we grow in our faith? We do it by just what we're doing here now. This is part of it. We gather together. We sit under the teaching of the Word during Sunday school, during this service, during the youth Sunday school, during other times when the Bible is being opened, the women's Bible studies, other times when you're having Bible studies or you're just opening up the Word of God for yourself. It's a matter of laying aside some things and preparing your heart to hear God speak. It's also in prayer time, preparing your heart to even hear God speak. You can do that corporately with us on Wednesday. Many of you do it at your home on your own all throughout the week. There's just times of committing all that this church stands for to the Lord. And we need that. So my prayer is that we would all grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the perfect person, to the mature person, to the fullness of the stature of Christ and Christ alone. Let's pray.